I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Yeah.
Great.
That sounds about right. 10-1, fifth best.
Let me pull it back up. Thanks for asking me on the spot. 14-1.
14-1.
Yeah, actually sixth best.
Sixth best.
Behind Jazz, Raptors, the two you mentioned, Wolves, Wizards, 76ers.
Okay, so.
Tied with the Heat. Heat are also 14-1.
So you've got the Grizz at 15-1?
14-1.
14-1. Well, that's a good price because at Caesars, they're 8-1. So you should, if you're going to bet the Grizzlies to
this
do it.
This is your betonline.ag.
Yeah.
This came out, you know, early this morning.
Yeah, that's where, you know, it's again offshore, but it's going to be the best price here. Jazz, this is, I'm using Caesars because not everybody has it. They have Jazz 6-1, Raptors 8-1. Grizz are tied for third best odds here. So, you know, just go show you how highly they think of that Grizz roster in that summer league. So I think if I was going to take a flyer, it would be on the Clips. I think you had them at 18-1 or 20-1.
Mm-hmm.
I got them 15-1 here on Caesars, and only because they have a bunch of guys that have already played in summer league a year ago, Kobe Brown, Jordan Miller, etc. So I like Cam Christie. I like you know, you gotta go get the guys that have been vets in this thing, man. That's who you gotta go get.
We've had a ruling from Jarvis Greer,
okay,
who says that Gigi did not steal the ball from Pullen. Something you and I have
it was a steal.
Declared as fact. Jarvis just said he was in the line. He was open. He was in the line of the pass. And that, much like Benson said, it was a three. So it was
all
not
right.
A steal
from right.
Pulling. And frankly, folks are offended that I'm phrasing it that way.
Well, that's
and
what
we've
they
had
could
an
be.
Official ruling from Jarvis Greer, Memphis Sports Hall of Famer, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that is what is
not, you can't steal it from your own guy.
Right.
Basically what Jarvis is saying, and I think factually he's right about that.
But we're not necessarily dealing with factual here. We're dealing with practical. It was practically like, okay, it's a football game, right? Cam Spencer's the quarterback. Cam Spencer drops back to pass. Pass intended for Zion Pullen, intercepted by Gigi Jackson. It was an interception.
But Jarvis's point would be you can't intercept.
You
that
can't.
Pass would just be
but,
have taken by another receiver that was still in the same area.
That,
a pass not intended for him.
But you that's what is that then? If you catch a pass that was not intended
it's a,
for
it's a,
you.
It's a reception.
But I mean, what is it really?
You stole it. He knows he can get us here.
Yeah.
Because technically there is no
No, there's no stat for it.
That says
but,
steal.
But
you can't
it,
steal
okay.
it from your teammate.
All right.
And that receiver is not intercepting the ball from his because he's on the same team.
But if Cam would say that pass was not intended for Gigi, he would say that was intended for Zion.
Whose feet we know were behind the line.
Right. Right. And so.
No, I don't think. Now, after Gigi hit it, here's the thing. And this we're getting real into semantics. I don't think Cam would say that pass was intended for Zion. Even though you and I know. And he knows originally
yeah.
it was. But once Gigi does that, you're not going to do it because you're not going
right.
to get into that.
If you go,
then you're suggesting as his teammate, Gigi stole the ball. You see my point?
No question.
Semantics, but it matters.
It does matter.
And so Cam's not going to say that. We can never get him to agree with us.
Right.
He's going to be on Jarvis's
right.
side.
You're right. But look, when after Gigi fell to the floor.
You're frustrated. I said, like,
he
stole the damn
after
ball.
After Gigi crumpled to the floor and. Cam Spencer was the first one who went up to him, and Cam said, "Hey, bro, that was for Zion."
I don't think he said that.
Yeah, he did.
I think he told him, "Good shot." That should have been.
He said that pass was not for you.
Let me ask you this: the fact that the shot went in,
mm-hmm.
is that not a sign that God wanted Gigi to have it as well?
God wanted Gigi to have a two, but the three was meant for Zion, you know. That's what I will go to my grave saying that.
Jarvo, I get it. Factually, you're right.
I mean, first
John
of all,
and I
Jarvis.
Were going off what Gigi's – you have to consider the context of Gigi's whole season last year.
Where was Jarvis yesterday? I mean, we were talking about this yesterday. Where was he? He's just now coming with this? He's bringing up
– he maybe can't listen to us daily.
He
bringing
up old
stuff. He's bringing up every – no, we've been talking about I just said it again today. He stole the ball. That's and he heard it. That's
okay.
Why he's saying.
Got it.
Because I've again addressed it as
yes.
Gigi stole it.
The jury on this show has ruled guilty
stealing the pass.
I'm just saying, Memphis Sports Hall of Famer has his own ruling here.
Look, he's
We're
got his
not
own
Hall
show.
Of Famers yet.
He's got his,
he
own,
has his
show.
Own show.
Yeah.
This is an official ruling from a Hall of Famer.
He wants to go on Grizzbeat and say that it was not a steal. He can do that. But on this show, we're going to recognize it as a steal. It was
because we know Gigi's heart.
He was clapping for the ball.
No one
man.
Else was going to catch that pass if he'd thrown it to the rim.
Oh, bro, Gigi was running with his head cocked, bro. He wasn't even looking, you know. And look, that's what happens with Summer League. It's just a mess, you know. So they didn't call a timeout and set it up. So
right.
it was just like chaos, you know. Like, yep. But yeah, I mean, I think as far as that play indeed goes, it's a steal. An interception, call whatever you want to call it. But it was not intended for G.G. Jackson, that's for damn sure. And that's what Cam Switzer told him. Hey, bro, nice shot. That was for Zion.
Ask Zion who it was for. He'll tell you.
Zion had to take a day off of grieving.
That could have been the shot that could have got him going this summer league.
He's trying to get the two-way.
Yeah, he's the one that real
bad. I don't give a damn about your
two-way. You already got your contract, bro.
No glory.
You standard.
No glory for you, man. Gigi said, man.
It's mine. It's my third year.
To hell with your two-way.
Big year for me.
You could stick that two-way up your ass. This is my moment.
My time.
It's Gigi time, man. Oh, that was terrible. Oh, man. I hate that for Zion. I really do. I hope he gets a chance in Vegas to redeem himself. I do. You know.
For real. Give that guy a real chance, Gigi.
I don't think Zion is cut out for it, but, you know. He had a moment taken from
it
him.
It feels like we're all pulling from Meshack to get the two-way over Zion. Anyway.
We are.
Yes.
Because he's the new shiny thing. He's the new shiny toy. That
oh,
we
do it every year.
Zion, we've seen Zion.
Didn't y'all do this about Eve Pons?
I feel like the Grizzlies.
Was that how his name was? Didn't yes. The Tennessee player we fell in love to with his athleticism?
Dude, Grizzlies fans do this about every fringe player ever. It's like, it's a joke. It's a running joke. Like Kenny Lofton Jr., was the GOAT.
Well, we did go nuts about him.
I mean, he was like Baby Z-Bo. We giving him nicknames. The dude didn't score a single point in the regular season for the Grizz. You know, so
Eve actually did. In 21-22, he played in 12 games for the Grizzlies.
I'm just telling you.
His jersey's hanging on the rafters.
Now, didn't your boy have a crazy high-scoring game at the end of a season? Just craziness?
Kenneth Lofton?
Yeah.
Lofton,
just off randomly?
Lost season. I don't know. You know, it all runs together.
Eve Pons was Meshack before Meshack.
He was. Yeah. He was. But
Meshack.
Grizz fans have
is that
like.
Is what it is? Meshack?
No, Meshack.
Jamai Meshack.
Meshack.
John, yeah. I always go to him. I defer to John. He's talked to him.
Yeah, well, I've talked to him. We're best friends.
Nice.
Even though, again, we have very fundamental differences.
But you asked him the best question he's ever been asked.
I think it's up there. Clear. I do. I think it's up there. The next question I would ask him is, are you aware that you're a Memphis Grizzlies Hall of Famer? I mean, are you aware, you know, with your 20 fouls in two games?
From an interest perspective, yeah. He seems to be more appealing to Grizzlies fans than Pullen.
But only because he's new.
And Pullen's playing on the ball. We have a ton of those.
We have a million of these little dudes.
Like
right.
Even having Pullen on a two-way doesn't make any sense because you went and got Ty Jerome, you got Scotty, and you got Ja.
Yes.
Jamai, in theory, represents something that you don't have.
Exactly. Another 3-and-D guy.
Even though the odds of him being that are extremely low.
Now, he hit three, I think. That's more than he ever hit than at Tennessee, they said.
Wow.
Tuamas Issolo's development's already happening.
I'm telling you, my guys, all he has to do is go shoot threes.
Yeah.
This is your way.
Yeah.
And he'll get Zion's two-way. It makes a lot of sense to me.
How are we feeling about Issolo, by the way?
I remain ambivalent. I mean, I think Utah Summer League is not a proving ground.
No?
I think, you know, the regular season will tell the tale.
I'm just saying Bryce Sensabaugh got us with 37, record 37. I'm still looking for our defensive identity and doggedness.
Yes.
Now, we're doing it with pieces, so you can't really judge it right now.
That's exactly right.
You know, with these pieces, but we haven't had a defensive identity since at any point that I've seen under Isola.
Yeah.
Still waiting on it.
No, play fast. That's our identity.
In his defense, he hasn't had the full
driving kick.
That's how the Pacers played.
I know.
And they got
but they have studs and a guy who can hit.
Well, you would argue that the Grizz, I mean, they don't have that many studs. You would not have said going into last season they had studs.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like they just kind of appeared out of nowhere, right? Like you would have never have said Halliburton was a stud. You would have never said Miles Turner was a stud. Like they're good players, but like you would have never said they're going to lead you to the NBA Finals. And they did. Now they came out of the East and they got some breaks. I can't control where the Grizzlies play. That is how they got there. They just ran teams ragged. I mean, all playoffs long, and they caught getting some breaks.
And there was a little bit more, I think, doggedness in them, just in the sense of like the Neesmiths and the Nimhards than I was ready for.
Yes.
There was more, you know, they had more of that than, because you got to have some of that too.
Role players.
Yeah. I mean, Neesmith and the way he was pushing around Donovan Mitchell and all, you know, he was a dog out there, a dog that could hit 40, that was hitting 40% from three. And so, yeah, there's got to be some of that too. There has to be.
Yeah. But Summer League gets underway tomorrow officially. Cooper Flagg's in action. Jeremiah Fears in action. Hopefully, BJ Edge comes back for the Sixers. And the Grizzlies will not tip off until Friday. First game's against who, do you know?
Boston.
Oh, that Boston Summer League roster is atrocious.
Well, we should start out 1-0, though.
Oh, my God. It's terrible. Oh, man.
Are we not developing a center? Are we sending Xavier out there?
I don't think so.
He's too valuable.
Yeah, exactly. He is. And Miles not even out there.
God.
Why y'all acting like he going to be the starting center like DJ Stephens or something?
Bro, they going to run out of 2012 Memphis.
We going to get a body?
Yep.
Brad Stevens ain't going to leave us hanging. He ain't going to leave Jalen Brown hanging. We're trying to win us 45 games.
He'll get some bum off the waiver wire or something, but it's not looking good right now. All right, we'll come back. Norton Hurt the Fork going to join us at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN. Group at the real estate agency. Never sleeps. Doesn't matter if it's raining or the sun is shining. They are always working to help you make the most money for your home. That's just simply what they do. They know exactly what goes into it, how to help you make the most profit for your home, and get you in the home of your dreams. It's not exactly a straight line these days in real estate, but with a Live Love team, they're going to help you price your home. They're going to help you make the most money for it, and you'll be glad that you went with the Live Love group. Reach out, SoToLiveLoveMemphis.com.
901-625-5200. Don't be intimidated by what you don't know. Just make the call. 901-625-5200, because what you're going to find, Jennifer Carstensen, she's not going to treat you like you don't know anything. I didn't. I had all these notions, preconceived notions and thoughts of how it was going to go, and she didn't treat me poorly or talk nasty to me because I did. In fact, she said, no. Actually, this is how it's going to go. Here's what we're going to sell it for. I said, really? And that's how it went. Went that way recently for Reggie. Reached out to Jen on Instagram after hearing about her on the radio from us. We suggest you make the call, reach out on Instagram, whatever it is you want to do, whatever your mode of contact is, call up Jen. Again, 901-625-5200. She is the best. Give her a chance. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the real estate agency.
I do want to update a story that we discussed last week about the fatal shooting at Memphis Rocks of Jarmon Johnson. We talked to Jeff about him last week. Since then, Memphis Rocks released a statement to Jeff, who of course wrote about him initially a year ago. And the statement said that we are confident Jarmon died as he lived, a hero, protecting our community and keeping others safe. They did say they can't really discuss the details because of an ongoing investigation, but I think that statement sort of paints a picture. You know, worst case scenario, you had, like, you know, what happened, right? Was the sort of that he had gone back to what he had gotten out of, which was a gang life, and it seems like their understanding was, you know, that's not what this was. He was a hero.
There were firsthand accounts, and again, you have to, you know, be careful with some of these. They're on Facebook initially with Rock's initial statement that they were shutting down for the week, of people that were there, bro. And if you read anything about him, you knew that he worked security for them in addition to their other job. At first, what I thought was that he and the security guard were both killed by a shooter from off the streets who had come in. No, he was the security guard, as this eyewitness account for Rocks that this person was talking about. And the other person that died was the shooter. So, but the security guard in this was him. And so, no, to your point, this wasn't a deal. It didn't seem like where, you know, Jarmon was back in the streets and bringing it into there. A street element had come in. He was essentially in a role of security guard also counselor, everything else he does for that camp and all the other everything else they do in there. But he was serving that role, man, and trying to protect folks. And so, yes, that would jive with what Memphis Rocks is saying.
Right.
He died a hero.
Right.
He's playing security guard. Now, I think the argument between the two men, we don't know all the details, but the shooter and Jarmon died, both of them.
Yes.
I say the shooter. I mean, Jarmon looked like he had a gun, too.
Yes.
But again, working in a security capacity,
right.
You can understand how that can end up being self-defense and protection of the people that were there.
Right.
And so, man, no, this young man had turned his life around, man.
Yeah.
He was one of the success stories, and Memphis Rocks was obviously was a haven for him, and that's why it was birthed to help, you know, give folks like Jarmon a place to go, a safe spot, and get away from the gang life. And so it's working, and that's why you need to, you know, like we said, you know, in the immediacy of this when this happened, that you know, you need to wrap your arms around the Memphis Rocks community and keep it going. Don't say, oh, this is a reason to let things like this go. No, it was working. Jarmon's life had been turned around. And you hate it was tragically cut short like this, but you know that he clearly was making strides in terms of the impact he was having, not just, you know, his own change in his life, but on others, keeping them out of gangs.
Yep. Yep.
Youth.
Yeah. It's either way, it's just a tragedy. But, you know, it definitely, we're learning some things.
Well, it's crazy. The dude broke the police line, ran in there, tried to get one of the guns and run out. Now, that's crazy.
Yeah.
They got him in custody.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that he's trying to grab, I'm assuming he's trying to grab the young man that came in to confront Jarmon, that gun.
Yep.
But have no idea. But you're just talking about somebody just trying to run in and get the gun.
Yep.
There's a police scene. It's a crime scene.
Yep. Absolutely. So, Jeff wrote about it today. So, again, some details emerging, ongoing investigation. But, you know, things are not always as they seem. And I think it's an important thing to remember, you know, in tragedies like this. So, and there was some good news, right? Like I saw the Daily Memphis had a piece about crime. Crime is down across the board. And I think that's part of the thing that people get, because they see a crime happen. Like, well, how can crime be down? Crimes happen. They're going to happen. Tragedies happen. They're going to happen. But you have to celebrate. You have to celebrate progress at the end of the day. Now, were they too high? Were the numbers, you know, of course. But you can't say the reporting is wrong now. Oh, it's underreported and no, no, no. Well, if it was underreported in 2025, then it was underreported in 2020, and those were still what the numbers were. So either way you want to slice it, you know, there are things to be encouraged by in this community. Obviously, this is a tragedy, and you know, thoughts and prayers with Jarmon's family and Rocks for sure. And they said they want to stay. They want to, you know, build through this and credit to them, because that's a very difficult thing to do. But I still believe in the city, and I still believe that, you know, there's a lot of things to be encouraged by. No question about it. All right, we'll come back. Norton Heard IV is going to join us. We'll talk to him about his week in Peach Jam. I guess it's a couple of weeks in Peach Jam.
Yep.
His roster, you know. What goes into all of this? We'll get into all that with him when we get back. Jason and John, are you trying to find me? ESPN.
Norton Heard IV, Team Thad Program Director and Coach, Silver Wave Media's top 100 most influential people in men's college basketball. Mitchell Hot Product and Walker Holmes Finest. You can follow him on X at Dream Big Heard and on IG at I Am Coach Heard. And this week he's going to be working, because tomorrow this opens up Peach Jam Pool Play. Looks like, Coach, and I've done my research, looks like you're playing Team Why Not tomorrow as things open up for you. First off, really appreciate that you can still do this, because I know it's about to start popping for you guys. How you feeling as we're set to get started here? Again, with pool play before we go into finals play, correct?
Somewhat. I'm feeling good. Thank you for that, Jason. So this year, we're not fully done with the regular season yet. So what right. you see is the final games of the regular, but it's all going to be in the same city at the same place. So this is the pre Peach Jam, but it's very important for seeding. For some people, it's important whether you make it or not. And then official Peach Jam start like Monday or Tuesday with pool play.
So how much different is this logistically for you, whereas maybe back in the day, hey, man, you're one of the top 24 teams, you're in North Augusta, South Carolina, you get in your hotel for a week or however you did it, Heard. But now, I mean, you're having to get – is this right? I mean, you're getting a hotel room, you're getting a place for 2 weeks because you got to do these – you know, the final session games before it? I mean, it's a 2-week stay, no?
Yeah, it's different to be on the road 2 weeks. I'm getting some last minute things done with my daughter right now, as you know, she with me and everything like that.
Yeah.
The first year with Fino and them, they put us in a baby bubble. It was 3 weeks. The last 3 years have been a kind of 2 weeks or close to 2 weeks. This year, at least you're playing every day. Last year, we were off some days, which, you know, because some people can't go all the way back home. So they actually been shutting us down for peace down the last 3 years. It has been anywhere from 10 days to 2 weeks, so we kind of have gotten used to it. I think this year is just that when you get there, you don't automatically know if you're in or not. That's the only more suspense to it this year.
All right, so tell us about the roster. Tell us about some of your your high profile guys. And we're not trying to not single anybody out, but you know, just kind of give us, you know, in terms of the most highly rated guys, you know, who are we working with the next couple of weeks?
I appreciate that question, John. First, I want to start off and say we led by two Memphis kids, which is Jackson Hardaway from White Station, 6'8 Phenom, and Tyler Jones, which is an ECS product. So I want to start with that first.
I appreciate you starting with the White Station kid. You know,
yes, sir.
This is a White Station show.
I feel that. With a little Mitchell and where you win Jason White Station. Yeah,
yes,
okay,
that's why sure. There's two that's of right. us. That's why it's if it couldn't just be a White Station show, if it was just me, we have to have Jason's alma mater.
That's
a
94.
Yeah, for sure. And is Brad Memphis? Did he graduate high school in Memphis?
He not.
He went to the school of Hard Knocks.
I got you.
Mount Olive, Illinois public school, though, out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay. That's where you get your grit and hard work from. Okay. That's good.
Yeah, out the farm. Yeah.
Out at the farm. So, John, our highest rated players, ESPN just came out the other day. Tyrese Bowie is 32 in the country. Kid named Caden Allen is 50-some. Jackson Sheffield, 100. And we got a younger kid playing up, top 15, LJ Smith. What's unique about the game tomorrow, Jason, John, and Brad, and listeners, are as high as rated we are, we're playing Why Not, which got Kristen Collins, which is number 2 on ESPN. We got Ariza Sun, which is top 15. They might have pushed them to 20. And the West Coast is really, really impactful in this 26th class. They got 18 of the top 50 kids. So the Why Nots, the Oakland Soldiers, the Vegas Elite, the Arizona, they're really – so the college coaches come out tomorrow, the NBA scouts, and us playing them – it's going to be unbelievable for the kids from an exposure standpoint.
I'm really proud of myself because John put me on the spot in the first hour and asked me who the best player on this team was. And I'm not following as close as I used to her, but you know I'm still on top. I said LJ Smith overall ranking that I thought he might be the highest ranked. It sounded like just from the rankings you rattled off, even though he's a class behind those other guys, he's top 15 and he is. My question for you off LJ would be, you know, because he's that year younger, Coach, And you tell us about finding the balance with him, right? Wanting to get him out there and playing and contributing, but you're also trying to go. And we know in the college athletics world, we're watching Penny a lot of times. He's going to pick those older guys. How's he sort of handled the, you know, playing with those older guys? How's it sort of stacked up with your purpose of, look, we got to win games too. I want to get you out there. How's that balance gone with him?
Well, it been good because they just redid the rankings I think they might have been came out 4 days ago or something. If you're talking about ESPN, Eric Boston, them still have him around 30. But ESPN had him 30-something. So he had a major jump by playing up, right? And him playing up, he hadn't been starting most of the year. But when he come in, he has been, you know, leading scores some days, whatever it is. So also when you playing up on the Nike circuit, it just automatically boosts you. You know, you can average 2-4 points. People are like, hold on. You can compete out there a year younger.
Yep.
So he still plays his role. He understands his role. We did it with Jasper. Jasper played up with Darion Reed and them the year before and with LeBaron. And then the following year,
that's right,
it was his team. So he's similar going through that same transitions where it's some older guys that are kind of lead the way, but he's just as good to step up at any time. And then next year, you know, it'll be all his show. So LJ's good enough. We believe in him. We trust in him. He just recently received a North Carolina offer a few weeks ago. So he's going in the right direction, and he's definitely starting at Peace Jam. So we're going to change a few things up. and one of them is with him.
Excellent.
Talking to Norton Hurd IV, getting ready there for Peach Jam. I'm going to ask you a sort of historical question. You know, you've been at this event for a few years now. Obviously, you've been on the grassroots scene for, you know, basically your entire adult life. Who's the best non-Team Thad player you coached against? Like, in that moment, right? Not today, but, like, in that moment where you're like, oh, man, we can't stop this guy.
That's a good question.
I know, you can stop everybody. Team Thad is – sure. We can always adjust.
We down some people that can mess deals.
But,
in
like,
the NBA.
Who gave you the biggest problems?
Because ain't too many people hit 20 on us. I would say Anthony Edwards, Jalen Suggs from Orlando, Check from OKC.
Just got paid.
Yeah, and not to hate on anyone money, but – they more gave him Pablo money. I think he should have more got Jabari Smith money.
All right, well, we'll take it up with the Thunder, okay? I mean, we didn't get it to him.
I'm just saying with his, you know, I don't know if y'all, no, I love Check or whatever. We played against him a lot. I love his daddy, but if you're just only talking basketball, I know we're not talking about that. Check has still been hurt a lot in his young career and some other things, but he's promising. But, yeah, Check is another one. Man, you threw me on the spot. We played so many. Oh, A.J. DeBansa, Tyron Stokes. I mean, we just didn't play so half of the draft this year. They just got picked, trade, all the Nike kids, Jeremiah Fears, Trey, what's Trey name? Trey John. I mean, we done played almost everybody. We really had. The Nike, you get to play most of everybody. Yeah.
Did, I hear Cooper on that list or no?
So I didn't play Cooper because Cooper reclassed.
Reclassed. Up. That's right. He
was ducking Team Thad.
I wanted him. I wanted A.J. the best in him, but the next year Cooper had moved
That's
up.
Right.
So, you know, of course he was going to be Cooper Flagg no matter what. But
is Darren Peterson on the Nike circuit or is he Adidas?
He was Adidas, so we didn't play him.
Okay.
He was Adidas, yeah.
See, now that's
really good, though.
Yeah,
really
that's the guy I'm getting excited about, Darren Peterson.
Really good. He looks like all the measurements, the way he moved, the way he can score, he's really good.
Coach, what programs or program would you, in terms of outside of your own, it's sort of similar to John's question, but a little bit different in terms of your reverence for them, right? That, like, the standard in this thing, when, you know, you've gotten your program now to a standard where we're expecting you, for the most part, to advance the Peach Jam every year and be one of the contenders to bring it back home. But in terms of those that you look around and you say, wow, I love the way they run their program, which ones would you call out first?
And I appreciate the questions, guys. And I really wish there's a lot of Memphis people that's listening today that run programs. So I think what we got to do a better job in Memphis is, you know, giving people their flowers, learning from other people and things of that nature. Me and Ernie always, even though we competed, even though he's not in it no more, me and Ernie always, you know, kind of respectfully.
We respected that.
Right,
we liked that.
Right, Ray.
Yeah.
I would say some of the programs I have always respected in the country is Team Takeover out of D.C. They are in the mix again. City Rocks out of Calkins side of New York. They upstate. Atlanta Celtics been around forever. Atlanta Express, Bradley Beal. Mike Mullin. I mean, it's a lot of guys, and these are different leagues, I'm telling you. I have named Under Armour, Nike, and Adidas. I kind of studied the craft of this thing and studied it for a long time. I mean, even back when the Pump Brothers came and picked that up back in the day. And also, I do my history on it, and the great Mac Irvin Fire and Wallace Prather. So I have really, like, did my research on where grassroots started, Boo Williams to where it is now. So I'm a fan of the game also.
Is there just kind of on surface, I'm not asking you to dig in too deep, but is there a common thread, Coach, in terms of those that you've studied, you know, where it was a grinder that, you know, sort of the program rode the back of for 20 years, that guy, you know, he had all the connections, or is it the way the program's run and the consistency? But what is there a common thread in terms of those ones that you found that you've always admired?
Well, it was somebody at the top that was extremely hard working and a grinder. And I kind of judge programs like I judge players, right? Or like I judge even life, right? John, there's some human beings that I admire that's doing great in life, and they're not doing the greatest, but I might admire them more because they came farther away. Like, I might know this guy. Like, he might stay in the same neighborhood with a lot of people that, you know, had a family that supported them and sent them to college. And I know this guy right here didn't have anything coming up. You feel what I'm saying? So yeah. I feel like he has. So I do the same thing with certain programs. Like, certain programs I know might have less talent, but they continue to win, or less resources. You know, I even bring some of them guys to my programs. I'm like, well, what if you put more, you know, resources? Nike saw me at one point and, like, if Herod then put 50-60 D1s in college with Under Armour and pros and this and that, what would he do with the – you feel what I mean? And so those programs, one thing I like about TakeOver and programs like that, we both play defense first, and we both are culture programs, meaning whether you're a five-star or a two-star, you got to go with the rules and how we do things, and or you're not going to be here. I think so many programs that if a kid got a little talent – they allow them to break the rules, and that don't help them long term.
How long have you been doing AAU? When did you start?
I think around 2010, and then Team Thad started 2012.
Okay.
Because I remember the 2014 class was LaRon and them. I had that group around since eighth grade, and the reason I remember being around 2010 is because I used to take the kids from the neighborhood to go see, like, Joe Jackson and Tariq Black and Chris Crawford, because I was coaching at Raleigh Middle, mm-hmm. and a lot of them kids didn't have exposure. So I was like, let me, and I had beat up car back then. I was like, man, let me just show y'all some stuff. So who's the top kids in the city? Mm. And I would take them around the game. So I would say somewhere, I know Team Thad been around since 2012, and I might have started a year or two before that doing my own thing, before I brought the idea to Thad and other things, like, we need to just go on, do it, and give back and everything, and that was already a part of what he wanted to do, too.
And so I asked you that to ask, like, what's the biggest change from that group of kids you had in 2012 to the group of kids you have in 2025? Like, how different are the kids today than when you started? Or are they, like, the same? Most, like, I'm just curious if you notice anything in terms of just how different the kids are or are not.
So I don't want to get beat up, but one thing that has changed is the parents are a lot crazier. And a little bit more, what's the word? Not naive, delusional.
Yes.
And the parent, now the kids, I'd be funny because every era think, oh, we were better. It's cold kids right now. It was cold kids. Now, maybe not in Memphis as it used to be, but like nationally, oh, yeah, AJ the Master could have played in any generation. You feel what I'm saying? Darren Peterson could have played in any generation. I just think, and not to knock the parents because there's a lot of great parents, but you mix parents with social media. You got to understand, John, social media have either improved or messed up all levels of life, whether you're talking about youth sports, you're talking about dating, you're talking about it's like it's a pro and con to it, and it has just put steroids on a lot of things. So now you got to understand, John, you mix social media, now people are already crazy, but now they use NIL to say that's the reason they're crazy. Oh, I'm doing this because we trying to mark you was crazy even before the NIL era. But okay, you can blame it on it. Like, some people still blame they didn't come to work on COVID, right? So that has changed in many ways. Also, basketball used to be a neighborhood sport. Basketball is a lot like tennis, golf, and volleyball. Now, when I was coming up, the best players in Memphis, if they didn't go to White Station, they was from North Memphis, South Memphis, Orangeman, didn't have a family home, and they was in the hood project. Now, basketball is like two-parent households. Most of the kids go to good schools now. Most of the kids are getting drafted now. And so it just didn't change from those type of aspects or whatever.
Why are we now producing her? Now, we'll wrap it up with this. You know, you can't answer all these questions, but since we're getting philosophical, it's something Brad and John and I have discussed. We're producing more baseball all-stars right now. There's two of them from Memphis. One went to Arlington, one went to ECS. They're all-stars in Major League Baseball. Got Austin Riley with the Braves that's going to be an all-star multiple times. Feels like we've got more of that than we do on the basketball side. It's that we're producing more of those than we are actual basketball all-stars. We got NBA players, but not all-star level.
So we actually don't have a lot of NBA players. I think I told Jeff this.
Yeah.
For so long, Thad has been in the league 17 years. I was in the league. And it's so many years where, like, he was the only one. Like, you had people come and get a cup of coffee. I'm not downing anybody. Or, you know, 10-day or back and forth G League, which is hard to do. And Cameron Payne had kind of stayed in there. But it was like he was the only one. And it shocked you because Memphis high school ball or kids that's going to college from Memphis, even back then, was so major. But for some reason, Sean Williams did a good job on it all. But for some reason, we didn't stick. And you look at a city like St. Louis that's similar to us, like they had Jason Tatum and Bradley Beal, or even Arkansas guy, and you'd be like, or even Mississippi, you'd be like, Memphis kills all them people in high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I don't know, John. One thing that I don't get, and I'm not this smart, maybe it's the food, maybe it's what, but I was in Shoot 360 over the weekend. And when I was in Shoot 360, some of the guys that was in there either watching their sons or nephews, you had the mayor was there too, but you had Calvin from Hillcrest came out with me in 05, 6'10". He went straight to Colorado. You had Ross Seward in there, 6'7". You had Big Jerry in there, 6'9". You had somebody, and this was just all during my era, and you would find 3, 4, 5 guys in every neighborhood and every class that were over 6'7". It's not a lot of tall guys
right.
for whatever reason now.
Yep.
That's the first thing, right? It's two things, and I think I done said it on the show. The lack of height. Now, I'm not a scientist or a doctor. Some people say it's the food. I don't know that deep. I'm not going to tell the people no story. And then two is, I just brought up, it's not really a neighborhood sport no more. And with Memphis having, to me, the lack of jobs. Like right now, it's a lot of kids coming out of Nashville. But it's like people from all over the country is moving to Nashville now. So they're not really homegrown kids. You know what I mean? But it looks like, oh, their high school basketball scene is better because of that. So them are kind of my two answers, you know, like the star from the foundation with it.
Good stuff, man. Hurd, appreciate you as always. Best of
luck this
week.
Good luck this week, brother.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Right, thank you.
He is Norton Hurd the fourth. Good stuff from him. As always, yeah, I mean, games change. You know, the game is changing. It always does. But Hurd is adapted.
8-3 this year on the circuit going in this round of final session games. They're second in the rivaling division. So, yeah. I'm telling you, they got a shot to win that.
Hot take, I'm taking Darren Peterson over A.J. DeBanza. Maybe it won't be hot by the time the draft rolls around. But if you have it, like, you get like that dude is just so polished as a guard already. It's just insane. And it's like I know exactly what he is. Like, he's that wing. He's that superstar wing. You know, DeBanza is like, is he that? He could be. But man, DeBanza, I mean, Peterson's already got it. He's got aura. You know what I'm saying? Like the Indonesian kid on the boat. You seen him?
No.
You gotta go see him, man. He's aura farming, that's what they call it.
I have seen LJ Smith, and he'll be starting at Peace Jam.
Perfect.
Moving into the starting lineup.
Maybe one day LJ and CJ will share a team.
No, he's too much. So we're talking, I'm class of 2032.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in the pros, like Bron and Bronny.
Yeah, it's 5'11", sure.
You never know. But yeah, if you look around, like all these summer league rosters, like 6'4" is like the smallest it gets.
Oh yeah, and who was it? It was LeBron and KD were telling us that if you're 6'6" or less,
right.
Or was it 6'4" or less? Either way, so. If you're not a defensive dog, you might as well go home. You're not getting to this league.
Because even Caruso, I think, is 6'4".
Because they said Holiday was like the
– right.
You have to be defensive dog at that size, any smaller.
Right.
Don't even come to this league.
Exactly.
They were basically saying.
All right, we'll come back, wrap it up here on a Wednesday. Jason and John on Eternal Fame.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
ESPN. Before we get out of here, I do want to give you and your girl some flowers. Angel Reese, cover.
Thanks.
NBA 2K, WNBA edition. Oh.
Nobody's been tagging me lately with a poor Angel Reese stats.
Yeah.
Trying to troll me because she's on a roll, ain't she?
She's playing extremely well.
We're rolling. We're back rolling.
Caitlin Clark returned for the Indiana Fever earlier today.
They don't even need her to win anymore.
She came back today. They got pieced up 80-61 at home by the Gold State Valkyries.
Remember how fools around here used to say Grizzlies better without Ja? I can already sense some of that around there because the Fever were winning.
Yes.
Without stop it.
Yeah.
Did you see her new Kobe's, by the way?
The PEs?
Oh, my goodness.
You going to get some?
I was in, no, you can't. You had to be in the draw. You had to go, now you got to go to StockX.
You didn't,
it cost whatever. No, but they were, they stood. Now, when did they give her own shoe? Not a Kobe version.
I think it's
version.
Next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think they debuted the Asia. We talked about this. They debuted the Asia, and they wanted Asia to have
Asia
her.
Have her time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, you know what? Respect to Nike.
Well,
smart.
If they didn't, they would be accused of all manner of things.
That's right.
So they know. So
you gotta, boy, they're smart.
Yeah, they know what they're doing over there for sure. The Ja3s, by the way, are getting rave reviews.
Dude, he's taking on a world tour. They're going to China and everywhere else.
The pigeon tour.
Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah, Nike's already rolled the thing out. They're laying into all the controversy and everything else. They're
Jason
very
gave
smart.
Us the story on Monday.
Yeah. It's a world tour, bro.
Worldwide.
And they're really calling it the pigeon tour?
Like the thing had pigeons on it because,
I like it.
Whole movie reel
they
thing.
Lay into all his stuff. They know what they're doing. You know, the whole thing about controversy occasionally.
And that's
pigeons.
What Gigi explained to us, that pigeons are what they call them in film.
Lame duck on the floor.
Remember that, but he called Kal-El Ware a pigeon.
He called Kal-El a pigeon.
He was the first one on the air in a post-game interview, I believe.
I had a pigeon guard me.
Right.
Yeah.
That was good.
So, anyway, congrats to pigeons everywhere.
Ja3 looks good, dude.
Yeah, lots to get excited about. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Norton Hurd IV for joining us on the show. Thanks, of course, to Jonah Dillon for hopping on in the first hour as well. Jeffrey and company up next. I'm Mr. for Jason. I'm John. We're gone.
Hey, guys. Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.